Today, we look at the crossroads of business. And that might be an overstatement of what we're looking at this evening. It's really more of the crossroads of the marketplace, the crossroads of buying and selling, the crossroads of interacting with other people with the interchange of money. A little more nuanced than the messages we had a few weeks ago about the pursuit of wealth or the practice of wealth, but specifically in like a marketplace buying selling environment. My first marketplace experience, which has set the standard really for how I view negotiations in a marketplace type setting, and I've never attained to, was when I was a kid. We went to go buy a piece of machinery. In the Midwest, we call these combines. It's because they combine both the harvesting and the threshing of the grain. And you can attach to the front of that piece of machinery what they call heads. Whether you're harvesting corn, the head is going to look a little different than if you're harvesting wheat or beans or whatever else. Anyways, my dad wanted to get a new one. We had one. He wanted a new one. So we went to the implement dealer to get a new one. They were having some kind of promotion. And I remember going in, we spent forever in this dealership. And it was a big open lot. And so we as kids were just running around playing on all the machinery and stuff. But I remember Dad just talking and talking and talking and talking. Every time we went to check up on him, he was still dealing with the salesman. I was talking to him recently, asking what the deal with that story was, and he said that the dealership wanted him to buy not just the combine, but a head to go with it. And he didn't want the head. I have a head. I don't need another one. Eventually, they agreed he could take both, but at a certain price. He had his price. He wasn't going to go over it. And they negotiated and negotiated and negotiated. And eventually, my dad said, okay, well, I guess we're leaving. And packed us all up into the truck. And I remember my grandpa was there, too. We get in the truck. We start driving away. And grandpa says, Terry, I guess probably is what he said. He didn't say dad. That would be weird. And he said, Terry, why didn't you take it? You're really close on price. Why not just take the deal, pay a little extra, and then we could have it and go? And Dad said, that's not the price I want, but don't worry, he'll call me back. And moments after he said that, the phone rings. It's the guy at the dealership saying, hey, why don't you come back? We'll meet your price. And the way my dad says it is he walked back into the office and he could see the look on the salesman's face, and it was this look of defeat. Dun, 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 he's the victor. He got it, and so he purchased it, and my dad loves that story because he says that I was just amazed the whole time. Just, whoa, how'd you do that? And really, I feel that way. When I went to buy a vehicle myself a year or so ago, I felt like I wanted to, that was what I should do, but I had no negotiating power, and anyways, I won't tell you how that one turned out. Turns out, the extra piece that they wanted my dad to buy, the head, was actually faulty. They guaranteed it, this is good, this is right, there's nothing wrong with this. Within a year, not even a year, so one season of using it, it was obvious something wasn't right. They found a major flaw, but the dealership wouldn't back up their word. They wouldn't hold true. They didn't offer any help to my dad. Conducting business is part of the world, and we all must do it. But God's people need to be careful that we don't step a lot over the line of trying to get a good deal and pushing it to deception. I don't know the dealership people really at all. I don't know if they claim to be believers or not. But God's people can be tempted the same way. To get a deal done, I will say whatever needs to be said to make sure I can sell it. Or I'll say whatever needs to be said so I can buy it, or so that I can get something free out of somebody. God's people may be tempted towards deception or putting on a show to making false claims in order to get a deal done, but godly wisdom is not that way. Godly wisdom invests in honesty. And that's the real point today. Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom and choices, characteristics and virtues that affect the marketplace and business. We're not going to go into most of them tonight. We're going to focus on just honesty. That's because all of Proverbs really can be applied to it. The things we've studied already, like the pursuit and practice of wealth, hard work, laziness, desires, planning, conflict, righteousness, speech, attitude, all of these things apply to business. We're not going to look at the vast wealth of knowledge in Proverbs about things that could apply. Tonight, I really want us to focus in to the couple Proverbs, a few Proverbs that talk about the marketplace environment specifically, and I want to highlight what those Proverbs say. And here's the thing, they all talk about honesty. The primary characteristic of wise, godly business is honesty. So before we go much further, I want to give you a definition of honesty. I know it's probably not the only or the most accurate in some scenarios. It's the one that we're using tonight, though. Honesty is conduct. So it's not just what you say, but it's also how you live. It's also your nonverbal communication that communicates what is true with no mixture of what is false or deceitful. Honesty presents the accurate, total truth, not just with words, but also with life. And again, like I said, this is the primary characteristic of wise business as described in the book of Proverbs. Godly wisdom invests in honesty, and the first strategy for making that investment is don't deceive. Now, this is the primary teaching of Proverbs in the marketplace sort of Proverbs, is don't deceive. There are three major sources of deception that Proverbs highlights for us, and I want to look at those. So, if you have your Bible open to Proverbs chapter 11, like I suggested earlier, we'll be looking at verse 1. And if you don't have your Bible open to Proverbs 11, this is the time. You can turn there. Proverbs 11, verse 1 says, A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Here we see the first source of deception in the marketplace is a fraudulent balance. Let's talk about that a little bit. A fraudulent balance, although what the King James says, false, could be fraudulent. You know, it's claiming to be something that it's not. You'll notice in our definition of honesty, that is dishonest. That is not honest. It's deceit, deceitful. Deceit in any form of lying is an abomination to God. It's the antithesis of wisdom that fears the Lord and trusts in Him with your whole heart. Remember back just a little bit in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. He will never lead you to deceit. That's not His path. However, many people might try to push that line, that boundary. It says a false balance. So what's a balance? A balance is a scale. There's a little artist sketch cartoon of what a scale might be, a balance. It was used to determine fair payment, and there were sets of pre-measured weights that were placed on one side of the scale, and then the product or the produce was placed on the other, and when they balanced, it would tell you how much you owed, how much you needed to pay. In today's day and age, we don't have quite that system, but I don't know if you've been to the grocery store and you got those like plates, I don't know what you, scales, where you put your potatoes or whatever you want in there, and then it tells you how much it weighs, and then there's a little tag that says price per pound, and you can determine how much you want to buy based on how many you want to buy, based on how much it's going to cost and the weight. We understand this, right? This is not a foreign concept to us. So a false balance, a fraudulent balance would be manipulated. Maybe on their scale, they add on one of the plates, they add or take away some weight. They have a custom plate, maybe made of a slightly different material. That would be close, but not accurate. They might mislabel the pre-measured weights. They might mislabel or use, a different material. Usually they use rocks because metals would rust. And as it rusts, it changes its weight. And so if you use a rock doesn't rust, it doesn't change weight. But they could manipulate the weights in one way or another. And the purpose of a fraudulent balance was so the seller could take advantage of the buyer, make them pay more than what was right. It's an abomination to the Lord. It's taking advantage, victimizing somebody in order to make a profit. One of the things the Proverbs is very clear about, and if you remember way back, our guidelines to studying Proverbs, our guideposts, one of those guideposts is that wisdom takes place in relationship. And it always affects somebody else. And so wise business or wise marketplace ethics would be to not deceive, to avoid fraudulent balances. Can you imagine how upsetting it would be if you were going to a grocery store and you were buying some produce that's per pound? I don't have any of those off the top of my head. I don't know enough grocery shopping. Apples. Apples are per pound usually, right? So you take some apples, you put them on the scale, and if you're at the self-checkout, you know, it just weighs itself. Well, how would you feel if you were having somebody help you? A store clerk comes up and they put the apples on and they just apply a little bit of pressure. You know what that's going to do? It's going to show that you're buying more. You're going to have to pay more. The store is not losing less. They're just getting more money. And you say, oh, it was just a couple cents more, just a dollar more. You do that over every customer, and there's quite a windfall. It's deceitful. You would be upset, right? I would be upset. You'd if you notice it, you'd call them out. You'd maybe call a manager. You'd make sure that accountability was taken on the count of the store. Deuteronomy chapter 25. You could turn there too. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, God is establishing some laws, some expectations for how he wants his people to treat each other. Deuteronomy 25, starting in verse 13, says, "Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small, but thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, and thy days shall be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously and are an abomination to the Lord thy God." It's important to God that people treat people with honesty, with justice, with what is right. Those who are selling goods or services should give to the buyer everything that they are paying for in full. Right, that's the first source of major deception in the marketplace, is a fraudulent balance. Fraudulent balances are bad. There you go. That's the image. The next is a fudged weight and measures. Fudged weights and measures. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10 says, "Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord." We just read in Deuteronomy, don't have diverse weights and measures. One big, one small. Nuh-uh. You keep them the same. And then in verse 23, it says, "Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good." This proverb speaks about weights. In the Old Testament, in Hebrew, these are the weights of measurement, like talents, mina, shekels. The measures are those like the kor, the letik, and the ephah, which I know means a lot to you. This is used by sellers and buyers to exchange goods. We would think more along the lines of pounds, you know, like the apples, price per pound, of gallons. I went to the store to get a gallon of milk. So these types of measures. Now, fudging these standards could easily be done, right? You have the sugar you're selling and you mix a little bit of sand in there. Nobody notices, but you're not being accurate. You're fudging the weight and the measure. You pour a little water in with the milk. Nah, they said they wanted skim milk, so a little more water is fine. It's just water anyways, right? You add some sawdust to the coffee or whatever it might be, you are fudging the weights and measures. You are advertising one thing and yet replacing it with something of less quality in order simply to gain a profit. We might call this false advertising, right? And doing so is despised by God, who is just. Now, we live in a place in the world that's rather unique in that there are a lot of laws regulating what you can and cannot advertise. That doesn't mean that you always can take everything at face value, but certainly there have been laws in place that the labeling on products is very clear. You usually know what you're getting because they're required to tell you what you're getting. Not every place is like that, and certainly in Old Testament Israel, they didn't have such laws or labeling, and so it was easier even to get away with fudging these weights and measures. The final, the third major source of deception in the marketplace was not the seller, but the buyer, a fooling buyer. Chapter 20, verse 14 says, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. And it's simply a buyer going up into, you know, the market. Just imagine the hustle and the bustle, and he's trying to buy a pot, and he looks at it and says, oh, this is bad. This is terrible. Oh, this terrible product, I wouldn't pay more than one amount of money for it, you know, one shekel or whatever. And he makes a big ruckus. Basically, what he's doing is he's defrauding the seller. Whether he is lying about how it looks. Maybe he thinks it looks really nice and he wants it, but he doesn't want the seller to think it looks nice to him, so he lies about what he thinks of it. Maybe he exaggerates a flaw. Look how terrible that is. Maybe he threatens and says, I'm going to tell everybody that you sell terrible products. Give this to me for a good price. And they manipulate. He's manipulating the seller. You know, the waiter, there's a hair in my soup. Not necessarily a good thing. I'll leave that one there. The seller has become the victim. And God is not pleased with that, because God is not pleased when people take advantage of people. God is not interested in you using somebody else. That says it lightly. God is abhorred when somebody uses somebody else for selfish gain. They make a victim out of a person. That is an abomination to God when people take advantage of other people. So don't deceive. Don't deceive. Okay, what's that look like today? We don't have those balance scales or shekels. You know, we don't have these marketplaces usually that we go to. You can think of a farmer's market maybe. How do we apply that today? Well, there's a lot of times that we still sell things. We all are engaged in buying and selling things, whether it's a gallon of milk or a large vehicle or a house or whatever, stocks and trade, stocks and bonds or whatever. A year or so ago, my wife and I sold a dining room table. We got one when we first got married. It was perfect for the two of us. It's pretty good for three of us. When it got to be four of us, you know, the table's not quite big enough anymore. And then, so we eventually sold it. It was a really beat up table. Right? It had, before we bought it used, the person who had it before us had a toddler that took a screwdriver to the top of it. Like, so the chairs, the tabletop, it's all really scratched up, not very appealing. But I want to sell it, and I want to make as much as I can off of it. So the temptation then arises to, in the listing online, to say something about just dining room table for sale, or dining room table, good shape, or to take pictures in just the right light so it kind of hides some of the scratches. And those were some of the things I thought about, because it's like, oh man, no one's going to want to buy this scratched up table. Ugh, I don't want to buy it, you know. But what I did was I followed the wisdom of Proverbs, and the listing said something like, functional table, or like usable but not pretty. Works great, just doesn't look good, you know. And we sold it for maybe a little bit less than what we would have liked to get for it. I honestly don't remember at all. We were happy to get rid of it. Went to another home. But that might be an example of just a time when you as a believer might interact with an opportunity to apply these truths. You want to sell something, you want to get rid of something, you know, you're even saying, hey, let me hire me to do a job for you. I have skills in these areas. Well, make sure that you're being honest and upfront. A couple points to consider of what this looks like today is just be upfront. whether you're buying or selling, just make sure you're clear about what you're selling. Make sure you're clear about what you're looking for to buy. You know, if your weights and measures are just like faulty and they're not exact, just say so. You know, we've got a teaspoon. I know teaspoons are so small, but we have a teaspoon measure at our house that's just, I'm confident, is wrong. It's just like the weirdest shape, and it's so small. There's no way this is an actual teaspoon. But if I was to use that and say, I'll sell you a teaspoon of sugar, which I know we would never do because that's really small and kind of worthless. But if I were to say, I'm selling you a teaspoon of sugar, I should also say, by the way, this teaspoon doesn't really measure right, so I'll give you this teaspoonful of sugar. Just be honest. Be upfront about what you're selling, what you're buying. That's a good way to not deceive. Another way is to prioritize your testimony over bargains, right? You need to love others more than you love a couple extra dollars. You need to worship the Lord and not worship getting the best price, or you need to be known. You ought to desire to be known in your community as someone who loves the Lord, not as someone who's going to take you for what you're worth, not as someone who's a really savvy deal shark, swindler, I don't know. I'm running out of words. All right, so we need to prioritize our Christian testimony over any amount of money. And then thirdly is just trust the Lord with all your heart. We sang the songs earlier, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." You sing it, but when it comes to your pocketbook, when it comes to the deals you want, do you believe it? Do you live it out? I'm not saying that you should be ignorant to when someone else is maybe trying to be deceitful. There's certainly wisdom. One of the applications of this wisdom is to not always believe everything anyone says. But don't be the aggressor. Trust the Lord and don't pursue a deal beyond what is righteous. Are you leaning on the everlasting arms? Or are you leaning on my own strategies for getting rich? At the crossroads of business, at the crossroads of the marketplace, don't deceive. Instead, be wise and increase your integrity. That's the second strategy this evening. Increase integrity. Now, we're going to look at two primary verses. One we've actually already looked at, Proverbs 11:1, and then another verse. Both of these verses are a plea to increase your integrity in business and marketplace, and they have to do with God and His character. When it comes to proper marketplace ethics, proper buying and selling ethics, the guiding principle is not what's going to be the most profitable. The guiding principle is, what does the Lord want? Who is God? How do I live because of it? Let's go back to Proverbs 11:1. We looked at the first half earlier. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Now the word just here, it means accurate, weights that are untampered with, that are perfect. Weights that are just and honest bring God's favor. It's His delight. It pleases Him. Now, this is important, and I didn't mention this earlier because I wanted to bring it up here, but when you talk about somebody and what they hate and what they love, it tells you about them, doesn't it? The reason that a false balance is bad is not primarily because it's defrauding someone, but because it's an abomination to the Lord. And of course, it's an abomination to Him because you're defrauding someone. But let's source our integrity not on a practice, but on a person. You know, learning someone's character, what they don't like, what they do like, that's part of the fun of marriage. Sometimes it's not, if you're the thing they don't like or something about you is what they don't like. I really hate it when you do whatever with the toothpaste, whatever you do, stop that. But it's fun when you're married and there's someone and she's in the other room or he's in the other room, and then they just start busting out laughing and you just got to run. You go, "Whoa, what's going on? What's so funny?" And sometimes you agree, "Wow, that was really funny." And other times, "Not, well, how is that funny to you? Why are you laughing?" But it's neat to get to know somebody, what they love and what they don't. God is telling us He dislikes, abhors, hates deceit. But you know what He loves? He loves a just weight. An accurate weight. When you label what you're selling accurately, the Lord loves that. That's delighting to him. We learn from this that God is just. In fact, Psalm 89:14 tells us that as well. Psalm 89:14 says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation," that's King James for foundation. "Justice and judgment are the foundation of thy grace. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." The foundation of the throne of God, of the sovereign, all-powerful God who rules the universe, his throne is seated upon justice and judgment. God is a just God. Justice in the marketplace is important because God is just, because he rules with justice. So as believers who are following the path of wisdom, we follow Jesus now down the path of wisdom. I fear the Lord. I trust him with all my heart. I also need to reflect his character. I need to be just in my dealings because God is just. First, reflect God's character. Second, we need to respect God's establishments. Proverbs. Back to Proverbs 16:11. Says, "A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work." Now, I love this verse because it tells us something. It's not just, oh, God likes a just weight. It's, who do they belong to? What does justice belong to? Justice belongs to God. Honesty in business is not just pleasing to God. It was established by him. He owns the rights to it. This eliminates an excuse that we like to make. Oh, you know, the system is rigged against me, so it's okay if I defraud them because they're just defrauding me in the first place. Is it? It's okay if I don't treat everybody honestly because it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Yeah, sure, the world is dog-eat-dog, and they're going to hell. You are going to heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Live like it. God is just. He owns justice. The one who truly fears God and trusts him also knows that God determines what is just and what is fair. God doesn't just like it when we treat each other with justice. He demands it. He established it. As one commentator says, God's work is justice, and justice is his work. We need to increase our integrity. None of us are perfect in this area. We all like to, when we were explaining, maybe even sharing a story, maybe embellish it just a little bit so I sound a little bit better. And that applies also in a marketplace, in a buying and selling. I remember one time I was at Walmart, and I was doing the self-checkout, and I saw somebody there that I knew, and so I scanned all my items, put them in my basket, was talking to the person, and then walked out. You know what I missed? Paying for my groceries. And so I get all the way home and go, wait a minute, did I just get free groceries? And the temptation is, cha-ching, yes. But the Holy Spirit, and I believe my wife, convinced me it would be wise to call the store and say, hey, I just walked out with, I don't know, probably like $20 in groceries, whatever. But I don't think I paid for it. What do you want me to do? And at the very least, they can say, oh, that's fine, whatever, just keep it. Or they can say, please come back and pay for it. And that's what they said. So I came back, and I remember they were saying, well, that was really great. Like, most people wouldn't even call. That's a wonderful thing. Thanks for coming back. And, of course, that makes you feel good on the inside. But at the same time, that was the right thing to do. Because God is just, it would not be right for me to take what I did not pay for. The same is true in all areas. What does that look like today, though? How can we respect God's establishment? How can we reflect God's character? Well, one thing might be to change your motives. And this is a basic thing. You've probably heard this a bajillion times. But we change our motives. Instead of thinking, you know, what's best for me, think, what is God like No, I don't want to live based on, I ought not be living on what is most profitable for my accounts, but I ought to be living on what is most reflective of God's character. It might not be best for me to take back the groceries, but it is right because God is just. Change your motives. Also, follow God's goal in your dealings. What's your God's goal? When you go out into the marketplace to buy something, what's God's plan? Is it really for you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise? Is it really for you to have abundant riches, as some evangelists or televangelists might say? Is it really that God wants you to just live a great, happy, wealthy life? That's not God's goal. God's goal is for you to be like Him, to be like Jesus, to follow Him. And when you do that, it doesn't often, it rarely equates to great riches, but it always includes integrity and honesty. And finally, again, train your heart to trust the Lord. I mean, one of the easiest excuses, or maybe the lowest hanging fruit when it comes to why I was dishonest, is because it just seemed like it was the better choice. Right? It just seemed like if I didn't do that, I wouldn't get what I was trying to accomplish. In order to get what I wanted, I had to deceive. There's a couple problems in that flaw. One, God would never want you to do what is wrong to get something that even is good. And if you have to sin to get it, maybe the thing itself is not worth attaining. But train your heart to trust the Lord. At the crossroads of business, at the crossroads of the marketplace, strive to increase your integrity. Godly wisdom invests in honesty. God is just. He's the author of justice. No matter if you're buying milk at the store, selling handmade products online, or negotiating to purchase a vehicle, honesty is not just the best policy. Honesty is the policy of God's wisdom. Don't deceive. Refuse to manipulate others to get ahead. And increase integrity. God invented justice. God is justice. Those who fear Him and walk the path of wisdom ought to imitate His justice in all areas of life. At the crossroads of business, let's choose honesty. Let us honor the Lord with this one life that we have.